Old habits are hard to break. I was fixing to turn around and turn on the tape deck, but it ain't there this morning. I'm sorry. Laugh with me, laugh at me, but it doesn't matter. It's just old habits are hard to break. Headed back there. Now, I'm sorry, you'll have to blame the sound man if I get too loud, because I can't turn that down either. Praise God. Luke chapter number 15, very familiar portion of Scripture this morning. And once again, thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. And I trust everyone got you a donut when you came early. And I trust you just keep coming early. Amen. It was already a passing joke there in the fellowship hall. But man, everybody got up early to be here for donuts at 9. So, you know, if we don't have donuts, go ahead and come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll be here. Amen. Luke chapter 15, and I want to begin at verse number 11. It's good to have the Hatfield family looking forward to these weeks of revival services and what God's going to do, and he's already showing us what he wants to do. He's already showing us what he wants to do. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Praise our God. Hallelujah. You can be seated again this morning. Hallelujah. Once again, very familiar portion of Scripture. Probably has been preached on multitudes of times. But I want to preach on it this morning. And the title that I want to give this message is The Consummation of Grace. Amen. Hallelujah. We know the story. How many has heard this story before? Been in church, you've heard this story. You've heard it in Sunday school if you were raised in church. Maybe even adult Sunday school. You've heard about the prodigal. The prodigal son. And everyone probably knows that prodigal means exceedingly or recklessly wasteful. A person who wastes his means, a spendthrift. More synonyms would be lavish, extravagant, squandering. Could be black sheep, excessive, failure, generous. Always in the wrong direction, though. You've got to realize that. Large, plentiful, rascal, refugee. Spendthrift, vagrant, a waster. Amen. Most of the time, we put this on the back of a sinner. What this pastor is going to do this morning is going to put it on our back. The prodigal. The waster. The failure. The squanderer. The reckless, not thinking before you do. The prodigal. See, I can wear that title. I can put it on my back because there's been times in my Christian life that I have fallen to these things. But when there was a consummation of grace, when the Holy Ghost began to move and God's Word began to come forth, and I responded, amen, then grace consumed me. Hallelujah. And God's mercy overwhelmed me. And He put me back where I needed to be. That's what this message is about this morning, is restoration, reconciliation. It's about me or you coming to ourselves. Amen. Waking up, turning on the light bulb. Amen. Really seeing things as they are. Praise God. These lights are bright. We brought stuff from the other church over here. And when we set them in this light, ooh, we need to clean that. Over there, you really couldn't see it. The light wasn't as bright. But it's bright in here this morning. I can see you wonderfully. This is different. I mean, most of the time when I'm preaching, I'm down here. This platform's different for me. Amen. I probably won't stay there much and very often unless I need to go look at my notes. Praise God. And that's why I'm going back. Praise God. Amen. But the reality here is we know the prodigal, the story of this father and this son. And you realize chapter 15 is all about someone coming back to God. Someone coming to God for the first time. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the hypocrites and all those that sneered at the sinners that he went and reached to and that he went and talked to and that he went to dinner with. Hallelujah. And he began to share with them how much heaven celebrates when one sinner comes to the kingdom of God, when one child of God comes back to a service to the King. Hallelujah. All the angels began to rejoice. Heaven begins to celebrate. Do you realize that you can make heaven celebrate this morning by taking a step, hallelujah, by the unction of the Spirit of God to touch or deal with something that you've let go in your life? Heaven to celebrate. So will you and so will I. Hallelujah. And when grace consummates in our lives and that Spirit of God works. So we see that this prodigal, number one, he was dissatisfied. He was bored. Had everything right there at his hand. Everything he could have done. But he was bored. He was dissatisfied. He just envisioned in his mind, there's got to be something better than this out there. Probably every teenager, probably every adult, probably every child has been under that attack. Oh, there's something out there. They're telling you can't have, but you know, you would really enjoy it. Well, that's what the devil did to Eve. That's what he did to Adam. I mean, that's just an old lie, church. Young people, that's the old lie from the Garden of Eden. You're missing out on something. The only thing you may be missing out on is a closer walk with God because you're more occupied with looking the wrong direction than you are looking up to the King who came by here this morning to encourage your heart, strengthen your soul, and put a little zip in your step, praise God, to serve Him even in a greater measure. Did you know even children serve the Lord? I mean, these children run around here every time they came in the door. They say, all right, is there anything I can do? And they were really hoping I'd say, no, not this time, so they could run to that recreation area and start playing. Amen. But they made themselves available. What is that? That's serving the Lord. That's serving the Lord. They didn't come in that door and then slide around the wall and then suck right into that rec room, hoping they wouldn't be seen. Woo. You don't come into the house of God like that, do you? Amen. Hallelujah. Try to get into that spot. Hey, I got news for you. There ain't a place in this building I can't see you. I mean, being up here, I can see everybody this morning, and I think you realize that. There's not ones that nodded yet. It must be the donuts. Must be the coffee. I don't know. Maybe it was the juice. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you're attentive. You're listening. Why? Because the Spirit of God has already came in this place. And He's been preparing our hearts. And bottom line, this is the message that He wants us to hear this morning. That grace is moving. You see, no matter where we're at, no matter what we've been through, there's always hope. There's always hope. And there's always grace. One of the greatest torments of the enemy on a mind and a soul is to drive them to a place where they think they're hopeless. That there's just no hope for them. They've just done too much wrong. They've just ignored grace too. You're talking prodigal here. I mean, this is the prodigal. Why did he go to a far country? I'm sure there were all kinds of riotous living right there where he lived. He wanted to go somewhere where no one would see him. He was already guilty before he left. Woo. And so that's why he went into a far country. In a far country, nobody knew him. Nobody knew what he was doing. And of course, all along the way, he thought he knew what he was doing. He thought he had it all under control. He found out real quick that old saying, it took him farther than he wanted to go and kept him longer than he wanted to stay. It wasn't what he thought it was going to be. A lot of people have come to that reality. It's not what I thought it was going to be. But then they automatically feel like, but I've made this bed. I've got to lie in it. I'm the one that's caused all this, so I've got to deal with it. I've got to take care of it. I've got to figure this out somehow. I'm sure the prodigal did that for a little while. Of course he did. Why? Because he hired on to someone that there was in that far country, and he found a place to work. What was he doing? I said, I'll just regain some money here, and I'll get back on my feet. And if I can get back on my feet, then I can start doing right. And are you getting the picture? I don't know if you've ever been through this in your life or not. Trying to do it your way. Trying to make it happen your way. Trying to serve God your way. Trying to make up for past failures your way. That's the prodigal. See, remember, prodigal means you were the waster. You were the one that caused the problem. I mean, that's part of being the prodigal. That's part of our lives. How many really realize with this pastor this morning, sometimes the calamities in our lives have come because of us, because of decisions we've made, and because we were reckless? How many's ever spouted off something with your words, and just the minute it left your lips, you were, oh. What was that? Reckless. It was reckless. You didn't bring your thoughts under subjection to the Lord. You didn't bring your thoughts under subjection to Christ. You just threw them out there like you wanted them to be thrown out there. Anybody else done that besides me? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not after volunteers this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the reality of God's grace still moving in this prodigal's life. How do you know that, Brother Pepper? Because there was a day when the Bible says there in verse number 17, and he came to himself. Now that's not a statement that he had found a new inner man and that he realized, well, I'm not really the man that I was, and that he went on doing different things but never dealt with the problem. Not what that means. No, what it means is he finally realized where he could find his help. I don't know about you, but I have encountered multitudes of people who are looking everywhere on the face of this earth and to everyone in the far country and everyone they can try to get opinions from instead of the very one they need to be seeking and asking. You see, it was his last resort, so to speak. Because he was doing everything to try to better himself, but it wasn't happening. Why wasn't it happening? Because grace was moving on his behalf. Amen. If If you make a journey back into the Old Testament, you find that God told the children of Israel that when you serve me, you honor me, you obey my commands, and I'll send the rain, and your crops will grow, and I mean, I'll bless you. But if you turn away from me, then will come the pestilence, and then will come the drought, and your crops will not produce. And well, this prodigal knew exactly what was going on, because it wasn't getting better. It wasn't getting better. It wasn't getting better. And finally, he humbled himself. The hardest thing for mankind to do, to humble themselves. Humble themselves. I've had to do that multitudes of times in my Christian life. I've had to humble myself. I had to humble myself to be saved. I had to humble myself to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The greatest hindrance to being filled with the Holy Ghost is being filled with self. If you're full of self, you cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost. It don't work that way. I mean, if you're already full, there's no room. And you can't be half full of the Holy Ghost. You can only be full of the Holy Ghost. And so we see then that's the biggest hindrance to being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the biggest hindrance to being saved. He humbled himself. He confessed. He confessed. And when he came to himself, in Matthew 3 and 2, it says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was John the Baptist. That was his preaching. That's how he preached to the multitudes. Probably started every one of his sermons, repent ye, the kingdom of hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Every day, repent ye. Repent ye. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ came on the scene. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach. Now it's our Lord's turn. He's coming to share grace, and he's coming to share truth. And he's greater than John. And he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, he didn't change the message one bit. He kept preaching the same message. But he brought a little bit extra power along that John didn't have. Hallelujah. He was now filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Above measure. But he preached the same message. Repent. Repent. What does repent mean? Well, this was the matter of preaching of that day. It's compounded of two Greek words. One means after. And the other means to understand. Notice I didn't try to pronounce these Greek words. You wouldn't know whether I said them right or not, but I can look at them and tell you I ain't going to say them right. But they were two Greek words, and the first one was after, and the other one was to understand. And so when the Bible says repent, that means God's moving with his grace. See, God doesn't call for repentance without showing up first. Woo, hallelujah. You see, in other words, this is the glorious thing about the grace of God. All you got to do is read through the Gospels of Jesus Christ and read through the Beatitudes, and you find Jesus calling men to a place they can no more obtain than that chair sitting there on the floor. But he's calling them there. But before he calls them there, grace moves first. Hallelujah. A touch of heaven moves first. The Spirit of God moves first. So when Jesus Christ began to come forth saying, repent, the Spirit of God was already drawing. The Spirit of God was already moving. Grace was already on the scene because it came way back in a manger when that baby was born. Way back when that baby was conceived in the womb of Mary, grace came on the scene. And from that point, hallelujah, you find that there were men and women looking. Hey, those wise men came from the far east. Why? Because they were looking. What was going on? Grace was moving. God was moving. Anytime God moves, it's grace, church. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Anytime God moves, it's grace. And so the word repent then means it signifies that after hearing such preaching, the sinner is led to understand that the way he has walked in was a way of misery, death, and hell. Or the word may be derived from meta. That's the first, I said it. That's the first word. It means after. And anoia. mean, that's pretty simple, anoia. Anybody ever been anoia in here? And anoia means madness. Madness. So turn from your madness, or after your madness, go to sanity. Amen. So everything pertaining to a life outside of God is madness, insanity, if you will. Which means that the whole life of a sinner is no other than a continued course of madness and folly. And if to live in a constant opposition to all the dictates of true wisdom, to wage war with his own best interest in time and eternity, to provoke and insult the living God, and by habitual sin to prepare himself only for the state of misery, these are evidences of insanity. Every sinner exhibits them plentiful. Or any saint that doesn't walk in the light as he's in the light. Amen. Repentance then implies that a measure of divine wisdom is communicated to the sinner. Grace. And that he thereby becomes wise to salvation. He sees the hope. Hallelujah. That his mind, purposes, opinions, inclinations are changed. And that, in consequence, there is a total change in his conduct. It need scarcely be remarked that in this state, a man feels deep anguish of soul because he has sinned against God, unfitted himself for heaven, and exposed his soul to hell. Hence, a true penitent has that sorrow whereby he forsakes sin, not only because it has been ruining his life and ruining his soul, but because it has been offensive to God. You'll find here in a moment when I read some more scriptures that prodigal didn't come to himself of it all being about him and what he could get. He came to the reality that he had sinned against heaven. He had insulted God. And he had sinned against his father. He had insulted his father by his choices, his actions, and his deeds. And now he was moving not for self-preservation now. Actually, he was moving to turn and make it right with heaven and with the Father. See, too many times people feel the tug, but they're still looking for self-benefit, self-preservation. Somehow they can maintain self and not really be accountable. But see, this prodigal realized he was accountable to God and accountable to his father, and that he had brought himself to that place. Another thing that he realized is that he would find compassion and mercy and grace in his father's house. It is powerful. It is powerful. Hallelujah. In Luke 15, verse 20, and he arose and he came to his father. This is the part I love about this story. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck. You know what that tells this pastor this morning? Is that every day when that father got out of bed, he looked down that road. Every day while he was out working in his field or in his vineyard, he looked down that road. Every day at the close of that day, while the sun was still shining, he looked down that road. He was waiting for that prodigal. Because he knew, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. He knew that grace was moving in that far country. He knew that grace was moving in his prodigal son. He knew God hadn't forsaken him, and he knew one day he was coming back down that road. Woo!
hallelujah. And grace was consummated that day when that prodigal son came home, began to confess his wrong to his father. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you, Father. I am no longer worthy. Here's the key, church. Are you worthy this morning? Do you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think? Do you think God's just going to overlook nonsense in your lives? Are you realizing I'm not worthy to be called a child of God? I'm not worthy of the blood of the Lamb. I'm not worthy of the sacrifice. I'm not worthy of any grace God's given unto me. I just want to be a servant in the house of the Lord. I don't feel I'm worthy to be called a son. By His grace, He has made us sons and daughters. Hallelujah. But I'm not worthy of that. But grace has consummated in our lives, and we have moved with the Spirit of God and moved with the Word of God, and we have realized that it's all because of Christ. All because of what He's done. It's not about what I can do. And yet so many times we find ourselves in the snare of trying to do it. It's not a matter of me doing it. It's a matter of me realizing how unworthy I am of God. And that I cast myself upon Him and to Him. And that it's His grace that works it in me. Hallelujah. And then no longer is it I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. It is that power of an almighty God. And here we find the consummation of grace. God moving in the life of this prodigal, bringing him back to his father, bringing him back to heaven, and establish him right back into that sonship. Hallelujah. So it makes no difference how far you may wander. Makes no difference how many failures you've had thus far in your Christian life. There is always hope with our Heavenly Father through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us back into a state of sonship, a change on the inside to where we start living it on the outside. Wow. That's mercy. That's grace. That's love. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. Hallelujah. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. Who'd they hear that message from? Jesus. Their Lord, their Savior. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That's the message Jesus came preaching. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's not fellowship of the saints. That's fellowship with God. Hallelujah. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If we say, oh, it's not that bad, woo. Well, how bad is it? What's it got to be bad? I mean, is that your definition? Is that God's definition? It's not that bad. How did we come to that conclusion? Which scripture do you have to stand on that with? For I find nowhere in the Bible that any bad is good. But yet we all find ourselves thinking or saying, well, it's not that bad. Ah, what's that mean? I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate for power from heaven. I'm a candidate if I will call it what it is and confess it before my Heavenly Father, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse me. And in that process, He will change me on the inside. See, I can't get changed on the inside till I come to that realization. There's a point, hallelujah, where all the power of heaven are at our disposal and will move on our behalf. There's a point in the mind and in the heart when we step over that line. You remember that stepping over that line, drawing that line in the sand? Who's on the Lord's side? Step across. That point of realization, I'm not going to be on this side. The Lord's side. That's that point. Nobody can do it for you. I can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. You and I as individuals have to step over that line. That's that place of realization of the sin that I've got, the bondage that I've got, and I'm not going to live there anymore, but I'm going to the Father's house. I'm going across that line, and I'm wanting God to do whatever work needs to be done because I'm unworthy of it, but I know He can do it. That's the consummation of grace, is when I reach that point of realization and I step over that line. You see, we are faced with that more than you want to understand, or more than you and I understand. Simple illustration. I'm standing right here. The Spirit of God's moving in my soul. I'm seeing what He's done, and I'm praising Him for it. And then all of a sudden, the unction of the Spirit of God says, run. I'm in a dilemma. It's a long ways around this church, if you didn't notice that. And there are three stairs you've got to go down. That's kind of hard for an old man. With a bumped knee. Woo! But right there was the line. Maybe it was out here. I don't know where the line was, but there was a line. And I had to step over that line. And I had to run. Hallelujah. If you want victory this morning, right here's the line. Right here's the line. And it's not just a matter of crossing that line. Please, I want you to understand this morning. If you don't ever understand anything else, I want you to understand, it's not a matter of just coming up here and stepping over and being up here. No, it's got to happen in here. It's got to happen in here. We got too many folks that when the line's drawn, oh yeah, I want to be over that line. Really, they don't want to be over that line. But everybody else is going over that line. I ain't going to sit back here. Everybody else going over the line. Ain't going to get it at all. That's got to happen in here. That's got to be that realization. Oh, come to yourself and realize you need help this morning. You need grace this morning. You need power this morning. And when you come to that realization, you'll find it. You'll find it. Why? Because once again, grace is already moving. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God's already drawing. It's when I come to myself and realize it's time. It's time. I've ran from this. I've tried to figure this out too long. And God already said, you're here by appointment this morning. I'm here by appointment this morning. We're all here because God wanted us here this morning. Amen. I had this message to preach last Sunday morning, Brother Hatfield. But God put it on hold because He moved with His Spirit. And everybody came around those altars and began to pray and seek God. Draw nigh to God. Didn't get to preach it. I thought, okay, well, that'll go on the shelf. And as I was getting ready and preparing for this service this morning, God said, that's it right there. I said, but that was for last Sunday. You know, that's what we were going to do last Sunday. You know how we are sometimes, you know. No, this is it. I said, well, how's this going to apply this morning? Yeah, that's how we are, you know. We always want to second guess God, you know. We always, you know, think, you know, because we've been in church for quite a while that we got this thing. We understand, Lord, I can't do that. Oh, I could, but I don't want to do that. Too many have done that. Amen. No, I want what God wants. Listen to this morning. It may seem confusing to start with, but when we get to the end of it, it's right on target. It's a matter of understanding. It's not about me. Not about what I can do. It has nothing to do with what I can do. Salvation has everything to do with what Jesus Christ has already done. And we allow the devil to torment our minds and get us always concentrate on what we have done. Whether how good we think we have done. Oh man, look how good we have. Look what we have done. This is just preach. That's not what I mean. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we can get there. We can think we're so good that we're above reproach. There ain't a one of us in this building this morning that is that good. Hallelujah. But grace is abounding in our lives to keep us on track, to keep us in the light, to keep us stirred towards God. Hallelujah. If we were left to ourselves, we would all go astray. I'm just going to throw this in here this morning. If you stay out of the house of God, you're going to go astray because you have no direction in your life but your own. How many realize if you're left to yourself, you'll convince yourself you're okay? I know a lot of backsliders today think they're okay because they deceive themselves. They're like the prodigal. I'll be all right in that far country. I'm sure when everything was going great, Brother Matthew, he thought, I'm doing good. I'm fine. Look how this money's flowing. Look at all the friends I've got. God's got to be blessing me. Little did he know, grace was coming in behind him. Following him all, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Woo, hallelujah. But have you ever turned around to embrace? Praise God, hallelujah, and come to that realization and run. Run to God. That strength, that power that you and I need in the house of God. Hallelujah. And so we see then that salvation is not about me. Not how good I am. Now the other side of it, it's not about how bad I've been. That has nothing to do with it. The only thing that has to do with is I have a need. Either one of them, I have a need. But it's all about Jesus Christ, his finished work on Calvary, and he's the only one that can meet that need. It's all about him. It's not about me, and this is really kind of brought to my understanding, and I really kind of always knew it, but it's not about me changing my way. Oh, this is one of the biggest lies of the enemy in the minds of men and women. Well, if I can just change this, then I can go to church. Sorry, if you could have changed it, you'd changed it a long time ago. If you could have changed it, Christ wouldn't have died on Calvary. We've got to realize, I can't change until Christ is ruling and reigning inside of me. That's the power of change. Hallelujah. That's the grace of God. That's the mercies of God. So it's not about me changing. It's me realizing how desperately I need Him. You see, so many times in the life of individuals, they've missed the reality of Jesus Christ. I mean, I was raised in church all my life. All my life. Maybe there was, from 3 or 4 years there I didn't go to church on a consecutive basis. But till I was 18, I was in church every Sunday morning. Guess what? We started at 9. Every Sunday morning, be there at 9. Have church, have Sunday school, be out by noon, and we haven't hit that today. Amen? And we probably never will, but praise God. Amen. See, I was counting on that. You know, I've been in church. I had no reality of Jesus Christ at all. I knew who he was. I knew what he had done. I did not have the reality of it in my life. That's how his grace began to move in my life to bring me to a place of reality. Something's missing. We're going to church? Yeah, that's what we started doing. We're going to church. Something's missing. All right, you got to go to church. Did that solve the problem? No, it didn't. Something was still missing. I couldn't figure it out. Well, I was raised in church all my life. I went to church all the time. You know, what else do I need? I'm going to church now. What else do I need? That's my mind thinking. It was wrong thinking. See, I was so raised on figuring it out myself, doing it myself, that I couldn't grab the reality. I can't do it. One Sunday morning, he gripped my heart. Once again, something's missing. Something's not right. I still didn't know what it was. But I knew it was God. How many realize God's in this place this morning? See, I was there. I was sitting in an Assembly of God church, and I knew it was God. I knew God was in that place. I mean, I'd watch them guys run around that church. I'd watch them dance in the Spirit. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's all right. That's all right. That wasn't getting bad. Man, how you can change when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, comes into your life, you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Why do they raise their hands? What's the use of that? Amen. You would have never dreamed that, probably. That's where I was at. I was the prodigal. I was taking everything that I knew, but I was being reckless with it. So we see whether you're good, whether you're bad, that's not the issue. The issue this morning, as we're standing together, someone's coming to the piano. The issue this morning is what am I going to do with Jesus Christ, who's knocking at my heart's door? Whether I be saint, sinner, backslider, doesn't make any difference, because he's knocking on everybody's door. He's come in this place this morning to come and minister to my life's needs. But I have to open the door and let him in. It's a lot easier sometimes to keep the door closed and talk through the door. Ever had anybody come to your house and you knew it was a salesman? Didn't even open the door. Said, "We're not home." "We gave it the office. We don't want any." He just talked through the door. You knew they were out there. You knew they were hearing you. And you'd hear them leaving again. You know, so just, a lot of times Jesus comes by. He's knocking on the door. "I'm all right. I'm doing fine. I made it this morning. It's okay." I've got to realize that if he's coming and knocking, then somewhere along the way, I close the door. Because I've got to have an open door policy with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. And God, we thank you for the grace. And God, I thank you for the consummation of grace. Those times I've come to myself. Those times that I've realized that I wasn't where I needed to be. God, those times where I've opened up my heart and you came in fresh and anew and brought revival, brought renewal, brought cleansing. God of heaven, you're in this place this morning and you're touching our hearts, you're touching our minds. You're drawing us to Calvary. You're drawing us to that old-fashioned altar of prayer. For God, you know our need, and you know it way better than we do so many times. God, I'm asking you, meet us at these altars. Here this morning, touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our bodies, touch our lives. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. These altars are open this morning.